Would tougher gun laws or even confiscation help in the United States to stop these kinds of things from happening? For this question, I turn to John Lott, who is an economist, a political commentator, and a gun rights advocate. He's the author of the book, More Guns, Less Crime. And I even think, John, weren't you a professor at the very university in Chicago where Barack Obama taught?
Yeah, I know we overlapped for like 4 years. There, one of the few times I had interactions with him, they were usually pretty short, though. First time I met, we both were in the law school. First time I met him, I went up, I introduced myself. He said, "Oh, you're the gun guy." And I said, "I guess so." And he turned to me and he said, "I don't believe people should be able to own guns." And I'd heard he'd been helping out some with the city of Chicago suit against the gun makers through his work at Joyce, getting them money to help cover costs of their lawsuit. And I said, "Well, you know, maybe we can get together for lunch sometime and talk about it." And he basically just wrinkled his face, turned his back on me, and walked away. And that was pretty typical of most of our interactions. So
okay, so he claims that that states with tough gun laws have less gun crime. Is that true?
No. Well, first of all, the numbers that he cites have other problems. But one of the big problems is they're firearm deaths. They're not crimes with guns. And so most of those, about a little bit over two-thirds of it, about 63%, are suicides. And that's what's driving most of the results. Because what you have happen is that in a lot of rural states, you're talking about suicides for older men, and a lot of it just has to do with loneliness. You know, you look at these rural states, it's extremely lopsided in terms of older age people, in terms of the male to female ratio. And, you know, you don't have a, it's kind of, in general, you don't have a huge number of females there once you kind of get above the early 20s. But it's really grim when you're an older guy. And I think a lot of researchers attribute that to the high suicide rate that you have there. You just have a lot of elderly farmers and what have you. And so, you know, it's nothing to do with guns, but they're adding in those firearm suicides, and that's driving most of the results for these so-called, low gun control states. But even then, it's usually, I was just going through some of the numbers last night that they have and how they define the laws across different states and also what laws that they include. There's a lot of arbitrariness that goes into kind of jiggering the results. But, you know, just fixing that one point, because he's saying crime, not crime. The numbers he would point to are primarily driven by firearm suicides.
What about, he says, other countries don't have this problem who have banned guns. You know, I'd bring up the example of Australia that had a gun confiscation program after a mass shooting.
Right, I heard you say that. What they did was they bought, they had a gun buyback. They bought back about a third of the guns that were owned in Australia. And then they had new rules for you being able to go and buy guns again. You had to get licenses and stuff, but people were able to go out and buy guns again. And the gun ownership rate now is probably slightly higher than it was before the gun buyback. And so if people want to go and claim that this buyback and then the subsequent increase in guns would somehow confirm kind of the anti-gun story, what they should have expected then is an immediate sharp drop, because they bought about a third of the guns that were there. And people can see the graphs and everything by going to our website at crimeresearch.org. I testified before the Australian Senate last fall. And then it should increase after when people were able to go back and start buying guns again. And you don't see that at all. You don't see that at all for anything. You don't see it at all for suicides. Suicides, which is the main thing people point to there, did fall after the gun buyback, but they were falling for 15 years prior to the gun buyback. And they were basically falling at the same rate after the buyback as they were beforehand. There's no sudden drop and then an increase. It just keeps going down at the same rate there. So normally what happens when people make a comparison, they say, well, what's the after average and what the before average is? But that's not very useful when it's falling at the same rate before and after. And in fact, if you break it down by firearm suicides and non-firearm suicides, both fell approximately the same amount after the gun buyback. So it's not really obvious to me why a gun buyback should cause non-firearm suicides to fall by the same amount. I think there's just something else that had been, for a decade and a half, a couple decades, had been causing suicides to fall, and it just pretty much continued uninterrupted as a result of the buyback that was there.
Let's talk about it. They're talking about common sense gun laws. Do you know what he means by that?
Well, he means these expanded background checks. I mean, here's the thing that just drives me nuts, and that is, first of all, we don't know the facts yet in this case, though I will say Oregon has this law that he keeps on pushing all the time. They have it at the state level, went into effect the beginning of August. He somehow missed mentioning that in his discussion last night. But I would just say generally, he mentioned he's been out like 15 times talking about these things. Tell me one example of one of those cases where he's been on talking about these laws after one of these events where the law would have stopped that crime. Just one. Because it wouldn't have stopped any of them. It's completely unrelated to him. I mean, who knows what was fined in this particular case? I mean, maybe the guy obtained the guns before the beginning of August or something. But all I can tell you for sure is if he got it afterwards, it didn't make a difference. Or if it was in one of these other states, he can't point to one. And yet every time he keeps on bringing up the same set of laws that he wants to have passed. And I just wish some journalist or somebody would just say, Mr. President, can you give me one example of one of these things you've talked about where the laws you're pushing would have stopped? Because now they've kind of changed it so that the president says, well, I don't expect it to stop all these attacks. I just want him to name one where it would have stopped it. And, you know, instead, on the other hand, we have yet another case where the shooting was at a gun-free zone. The school rules that they have in both the student handbook and the faculty handbook is that if you bring a water pistol, a BB gun, a firearm, and then they list a bunch of other things, onto school property, for students they will get expelled, and for faculty they'll get fired. And those are real penalties. I mean, if you're a faculty member and you get fired for firearms-related violation, what do you think the chances of getting another academic job someplace in the country are? It's essentially zero. If you get expelled, if you're a 21-year-old student who has a concealed handgun permit and you get expelled for firearms-related violation, good luck finishing your BA someplace else, because you're basically going to have to reconcile yourself to living life without getting a college degree. And so those are life-altering penalties that are there. The problem is that when they go and they pass these types of restrictions, it's the law-abiding good citizens who obey them. I mean, they face real penalties. And these guys who are planning on essentially committing suicide in order to go and get attention, you know, they count on. In fact, the amazing thing to me is how many times these killers explicitly talk about choosing targets where they don't have to worry about victims defending themselves. So whether it's the Charleston shooter, who originally was his first target was supposed to be Charleston College, but he decided not to because they had armed security there. Or this summer we learned in the diaries for James Holmes, the Batman movie theater shooter, that his first target was supposed to be the Denver International Airport. But he was concerned that there was too much security there that would stop him before he's able to kill people. There were 7 movie theaters within a 20-minute drive of Holmes's apartment that were showing the premiere of the Batman movie. Only one posted signs banning permanent concealed handguns. That's the one he went to. He didn't go to the ones closest to his home. He didn't go to the one that advertised itself prominently as having the largest auditoriums in the state of Colorado, which you think, for somebody who wants a lot of victims on the premiere of Batman movie night, would be a possible target. Instead, he went the only one where people couldn't defend themselves. And last year, you have other cases. You have the Santa Barbara killer. You have them, even in other countries, the mass public shooter in Canada. The guy had comics up on his Facebook page making fun of gun-free zones. He had one comic up on his Facebook page where a mass killer had been shooting people. There was one victim who was trying to stumble and run away from him. The killer was pointing his gun at him, and the would-be victim is half turned to him and saying, look, this guns are banned here. You're not allowed to have a gun here. It's against the law for you to shoot me. And there's a bubble above the killer's head saying, basically, what a moron, as he's pointing his gun at him, apparently ready to shoot him also. And so, those are just a few cases from just the last year and a half or so. And
John, I'm fresh out of time, but thank you very much for your perspective. And good luck in this struggle, because apparently they're going to try to proceed even against this kind of evidence. John Lott of I talk to John all the time, and I think he gets tired of constantly having to remind us of these facts. He is a gun rights advocate, author of the book More Guns, Less Crime.